Hi, this is Vermin Supreme, and I never listen to None Taken. In fact, I don't even know what that is. I know what the words mean, but I don't know what it means as a whole.
I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad. No, not Breaking Bad. What's the other? Better Call Saul?
Better Call Saul?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll talk about our media diet later, but it reminded me of, in Breaking Bad, it's the Albuquerque Police Department, and they go ABQPD. Have you ever noticed B, Q, P, and D are all the same shape?
Lowercase. I hadn't actually thought of it, but yeah. Is that weird?
It seems weird.
It is kind of weird. B, Q, P. Well, yeah. No, they're very similar. It's just kind of like flipped.
Yeah.
Rotated.
Yeah. It's literally just rotated.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that one's flipped. Okay, two are flipped. Okay. It's not as weird.
It's still kind of weird.
Still kind of weird. Is that how we start the show?
I don't know. Sure. I feel like, is that based on like a Cyrillic alphabet and that's how they did it?
Maybe? I don't think so. This seems pretty Cyrillic. Cyrillic's weird how like the N is the sh sound, I think. I can't accept an N being a sh sound.
Do you know more about that stuff than I do?
Barely.
Yeah. You still listen to that language podcast?
No, I stopped.
Etymology or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I still listen to that. Yes. Yeah. I was learning Russian for like, I don't know, 4 months in 2015 using a podcast, and it obviously didn't work, but it was enough that I could watch the Americans and be like, oh, I heard a word. Oh, I heard another word. And then I'd read the subtitles and be like, got it. I knew it. Sto etta.
I did the same thing with Japanese, and yeah, it kind of didn't really take either.
No. Just Japanese enough to be hard, like, man. What it, freaking, speaking of Russians, our fucking toaster friend, he posted a meme that was like, you speak English because it's the only language you know. I speak English because it's the only language you know.
I saw that. That's pretty funny.
All right. Well, we're not just going to sit here and talk about memes. Let's get to our headlines. I'm going to press a button.
All right.
You said that like you had six memes lined up.
Let's go.
Ready?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Ready. Don't let me in his damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like None Taken. Welcome to the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week I listen to 13 hours of podcast, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. I got these out of order. Watch this, Alan. Alan, my good friend, wrangles up all the headlines all week, and then we come on here and do that thing I just said. Can you tell I normally read this and I'm winging it? Oh, you know what we are, Alan? We're your antidote to mainstream media. Jesus Christ, someone's going to be listening to this for the first time and be like, this is what my friend recommended? This is the show? I mean, I guess they think they're special because they have an actual intro. You know what? We got a Friday sound. Here, I got a Friday sound right here.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
I say that like I'm worried about new listeners, and then I go and play, one, a dated reference, two, very dated language, Alan. Dated language. Speaking of dated language, dated, the lyrics in the song that we played out with on Wednesday, spicy, but very catchy.
Little dated language as well.
Yeah, a little dated language. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you all are having a great week. We got some headlines for you.
Yeah. Weekend is here. Grab a can of beer. I got one.
Nice.
We got a headline what about you got? Drinking. Hippies and Cowboys by Tennessee Brew Works.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. Shout out to a friend of the show, real life friend, and friend of the show, Brian, who works at the said Hippies and Cowboys, Tennessee Brew Works. All right. Well,
that's also a good song.
Yes. Yeah. Forget the singer, but it'll come to me. We'll rip that and play it at the end of the show. The Hippies and Cowboys, good song.
I think I sent it to you.
I know you did, but I just... Yeah. What do you think? I'm going to search my texts right now?
It's Cody Jinks.
Cody Jinks. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So shall we get into our headlines?
Absolutely.
All right. So first headline, the Trump Organization was sentenced to pay $1.6 million in fines following its tax fraud conviction over a 15-year off-the-books compensation scheme.
Okay.
We've talked about this quite a bit.
I know you were almost like, I don't know if we even want to do this headline. It's not that interesting to me. And if it's not interesting to me, I doubt the listeners care. And I'm like, hold on. I want to talk about this only because that is very little money. And it's over a long
period.
This is nothing. Like, right?
I mean, it's $1.6 million. It's still, I mean, I'm sure, you know. It's not nothing.
I mean, to the guy that cashes 13-cent checks from Spy Magazine, right, or whatever, I'm sure it is a big deal, yes. But
that's fair.
So, I mean, the only reason I insisted you keep this in the show was because it feels like this, like there was a very long process to get to this, and this is where it came from. I bet it cost the government more than $1.6 million to conduct that.
I bet it did, too. Yeah. I think your exact quote was, if we don't keep it in, then he gets away with it or he wins. And I was you're right. I'm with you.
That's also from the same family as the terrorist win. People stopped saying that around like 2007, finally, but
yeah,
do that. The terrorist
didn't
win.
Age well.
No. Yeah, little Trump's wins. Who cares? Man, this was a surprise. So this morning, we're recording this on Wednesday, listeners. Ukraine's interior minister died in a helicopter crash near Kyiv, marking the highest profile casualty since Russia invaded Ukraine. The crash killed at least 16 others. There is currently no indication that the crash was more than an accident, but there is an investigation into it, so we don't have an answer yet. When it broke, I didn't hear any insinuation that it was shot down. I mean, I suppose that leaves sabotage on the table, or there's just not enough information about it at all.
So I think the death toll has actually been updated to only 14 people as opposed to 16. Still tragic, including a child. It crash landed like near a kindergarten. So there were kids on the ground that got injured. A child was killed. Most of the casualties were actually people on the ground as opposed to people in the helicopter. To your point, it's not, there hasn't been any indication that it was shot down or anything like that. Although Zelensky came out and said that any casualty like this during a war is a casualty of war, regardless.
That's more of like to honor the guy, right? That seems.
Yeah, I mean, likely the issue is that there's no electricity, so there's no lights. It was foggy. It was raining, I believe.
Sure. I mean, you saw what happened to Kobe's helicopter in low altitude, low visibility.
They had
electricity.
Yeah, so shit can happen. And apparently that is what happened. This interior minister, he was the head of the National Police Force, so a pretty big loss. He'd been with Zelensky for quite a while. Seemed like a pretty solid stand-up dude. Kind of sucks. It really sucks.
This comes on the heels of the advisor to Zelensky resigning after like a lot of pressure to get him to resign, and that all happened over a very quick time period. So he had reported that Ukrainian rocket anti-missile defense rockets were the cause for the apartment that got shot by a rocket, and immediately they're like, no, Russia did that. And I believe it's since been proven that Russia, in fact, used an anti-ship, like anti, what do you call it, like boat?
Yeah, like
anti-boat?
A massive missile.
Like what they would use to sink a ship on there. I don't know. I don't understand why the guy resigned. Like, did he like insist it, or was it like, because it became instant propaganda for Russia. They're like, oh, look, even the Ukrainians are saying that they're responsible for it. We didn't shoot that apartment, but they clearly shot the apartment.
Well, I think that's why he resigned. I think because it looked so bad as far as, you know what I mean? There's just, people weren't going to stand for that. Hmm. That's actually the next headline, so we can skip it if you want.
I didn't see that. Well, there we go. Killed 40 people in an apartment. Yeah. One of the deadliest strikes in Ukraine on Ukrainian civilians there. Your turn, sir. Hey, look, New Mexico. Right. I brought about Albuquerque earlier.
Hey, you did. How about that?
Isn't that something?
Oh, how about that?
Isn't that something?
Nope. Sorry.
Former New Mexico House candidate Solomon Pena was arrested for allegedly orchestrating shootings at four elected officials' homes following claims his November defeat was rigged. No one was injured in the shootings. This story is pretty fucking wild to me and also a little bit scary. So essentially what happened was this guy lost his race by a pretty narrow margin. I want to say like 3,600 votes. And he claimed...
I thought he lost by a lot. Okay, that's not that important, but okay.
I think the article I read said...
You would know more than that. Yeah.
so he had come forward and said, look, this was fraud. He did the whole, you know, kind of copy the stop the steal thing.
Yeah.
And everybody shot him down. I was like, no, there's no evidence of that. You lost. So allegedly what he did then was assemble a crew of himself and three other people to do drive-bys at Democrat homes, various Democratic officials, representatives of the government there, including one. No, so nobody was injured. Nobody was hit. However, in one case, there are, I believe, three bullets made it into...
Oh, a child's bedroom.
Yeah, 10-year-old's bedroom. And by the way, these guys that he recruited to help him with, really good guys. One of them was caught with 800 fentanyl pills on him. And this guy, so the way they caught him was he personally had shot into somebody's home.
Okay.
Not him. One of his guys had shot it. The guy with the fentanyl had shot into somebody's home, and the cops got there really quick, and they were able to chase him and find the bullet casings in his car.
Oh.
And then they were, through phone records, they were able to connect the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, this is political violence. This is not, I mean, this is unusual for our country. Let's be honest.
That reminds me. I feel like in like early on in Trump's administration, when there was a lot of hysteria, a friend of mine would always call me down by saying like, hey man, if we get through 1968, we can get through anything. And like that got me through like 2021. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I've kind of haven't been able to use that as well as anymore. How much of this could be attributed to, is this person motivated? Like, were they self-motivated to make these claims? Or do you think they feel like they could stand on the shoulders of Trump and say it's reasonable to make these claims? Because if you do that, then you can start talking about the media entities that propagate
that platform that
platform that, but I mean like, okay, sure. I get it. I get triggered by the word platform, I think. I should have better self-control. when they bring people on that say things that are clearly lies and crouch them in just asking questions, is this the result of that? I'm thinking of like Sinclair Broadcasting, where there's just, you know, there's a Sinclair Broadcasting channel in every market and they all say the same thing and it's all dictated by their, you know, scripted news.
Right. No, I definitely think it's the latter. I do think that it's somebody like him. Prior to what Trump did in 2020, I don't know that he would do that on his own. That's not a common occurrence in American politics.
But he's clearly a deranged person, right? Like, I mean, when I first heard this story, I was kind of dismissive. I was like, okay, first of all, it's a local anomaly. He ran for state house, or he ran for the house.
Yes.
So state assembly, right?
Yes.
So it's like, I have two thoughts there. One, I'm like, why should I give a fuck about what some state assembly crazy person did? It's like, you know, if we just talk about the House of Representatives, we talk about them being insignificant because there's 400 plus of them. We're talking about each individual state. This is like an assistant manager at an Arby's. Like, why do I care about this guy? But then at the same time, like I said, I have two thoughts. I'm also of the mind of, you know, care about your local politics first. And, you know, I should have concern about this type of violence happening in local politics. Right. But is he doing this on his own, or is he doing this because he felt empowered by that being like the flavor of politics these days? And how much attention, and I'm kind of shifting back and forth, how much attention should we put on a story that really could be chalked up to, okay, there's a crazy person and, you know, there's no barrier to running. So it's not like, wow, this person was highly vetted and they turned out to be crazy. It's like, no, they tried to win a popularity contest and lost. Like, okay.
I mean, so
the fact that they're a bad person is a separate thought.
I think we've talked about this on the show before, is that strangely enough, local government actually tends to have more power over your life than mm-hmm. federal government does, which is actually the way it's set up. It's supposed to mm-hmm. be that way. So yeah, while it is a state house seat, it's not insignificant. So it's not like it's nothing. He's running for mayor of Smallville.
Yeah.
As far as his motivation or whether he did this because he was a crazy person or because the
neither me or you can answer that. I get you.
Yeah, there's no way to answer that. I would argue that, yeah, it's the nature of political discourse.
It seems like this would be less likely to have happened if it weren't for that.
That's right. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You said he claimed fraud.
He did.
He should have bought some fraud protection.
Fraud protection. I think we're on the same page.
We're totally on the same page.
They're turning the frauds gay.
They're turning the fraud gay? Oh, no. all right. Well, are we China? Is this me? Oh, man. Coming out of a up-tempo record with dead dog fucking dedication. China's population shrank to, it shrank for the first time last year. So it was the first time since the 60s. The 850,000, nearly a million people less. So their deficit, right? Their difference between births and deaths was 850,000 in the negative this year. Can you tell I'm not reading a headline anymore? It's their first time, like I said, since the 60s of a falling birth rate, aging demographics. You know, they've got... One thing we always say about China is they have that centralized power and they have the labor force that they can mobilize basically at the point of a gun or threaten of, you know, going in the mm-hmm. goulash or whatever Marjorie Taylor would say. They're still putting the green in there. I don't know. I feel like she should. DC goulash.
Isn't that a food?
It is, but she said that. Or am I? Oh, gazpacho police. That's what I was getting confused.
Gazpacho. Yeah, that's what it was. That's,
same thing, Alan. Gazpacho, gulag. You're really going to split soup hairs. There's a hair in my soup. Okay. Yeah. So this is a big deal. Like, they won't get to mobilize those people if they don't have the birth rate trends to back up their agenda, I suppose. Right. Now there's like two perspectives on this. There's the global powers and the great game competition, but then there's also just like, you know, we do have an interconnected globe and them not being able to make us iPhones, that's going to suck, right, Alan? Like we gotta have this cheap labor and kids with the tiny hands get in there and put these microchips on things.
There is that.
I'm being silly. This is a serious story. And this is not good for C, right? Because he's got the housing issue. He's got the labor market mm-hmm. issue. He's got long-term negative trending demographics. He's got
people dying of COVID.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
37 people. This has been predicted for a while. The reason that they suspended the one child policy was they saw this coming.
And they're not able to counter that yet, because that's what happens when you set up a dumb policy like that and think that you can.
Yes.
Life finds a way out.
Yeah.
Now you've taught people also, habits like people aren't going to be like, oh, okay, that's fine. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And people are seeing their, you know, their economic outlooks not looking great. So they're having less kids. It's a problem. It is a very serious story. I mean, if you look at Japan as a case study, they're in a really tough spot. They've been dealing with this for like a decade, I want to say now.
Decades?
Yeah. Maybe decades.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can turn that around, but that's not an easy ship to flip on a dime.
Do you know why we know that? Because it's been true here for a while, right? Like, I feel like that's been true in the States for a long time, hasn't it? Haven't we had a declining birth rate?
Yeah, so essentially our population levels have been kind of supplemented by immigration.
Right. So I feel like this is Western media being like, oh no, it's so sad. Look at this story that's bad about China. And it's like, yeah, I mean, if that continues to be a trend, that'll be a problem for them. But if next year it's up by 3 million, like keep your own house in order. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's like 8% drop. I want something like that. I'm just doing quick math. 7-8% drop in population in one year. That's a lot.
Where are the bodies? That's significant. Where are the bodies, China? What are you, Garth Brooks?
Garth Brooks?
Yeah, I remember how Tom Segura's got the whole thing about how Garth Brooks is a serial killer. Where are the bodies, Garth?
Oh, the only thing in Garth Brooks I remember is that he shits all over his airplane. That's what I remember.
I don't remember that. Now I have to keep that in. That was such a throwaway comment, but Garth Brooks. Now I'm picturing Garth Brooks just, okay. Oh, God damn it, Alan. Look at the next headline.
Oh, no.
Son of a bitch. Okay. You do it.
Okay. Hold on. Meet my serious voice here.
All right.
A Yeti Airlines plane carrying 72 people crashed in Nepal on Sunday. I don't know a whole lot about this other than I saw the video. I think maybe Toaster or somebody posted it in the group chat, and it's just wild. Somebody's like at an apartment, it looks like.
Oh.
You see the plane just flying low and turning, and then it just
sharp bank, like 90-degree bank. Yeah. Is that the only video you saw?
That's the only video I've seen, yes.
So there's a video from the inside of the plane. Somebody was live Facebook living. Like, I think they like got service, like they were low enough to start getting service. And because like this happened suddenly, you know, they had gotten to a low enough altitude or something, or maybe they had Wi-Fi. I don't know what fucking Yeti Airlines carries. So they were Facebook living and you can like see the people. They're just having like a normal, I'm happy. My plane's about to land. And within like 15 seconds, everyone's screaming. The video goes black for a second, but doesn't stay black. Like they covered the camera or something. And then you can actually see the flames it's horrifying. It's as someone who's afraid of flying.
I was going to say, I bet this isn't great for you.
Oh, it was terrifying for me. It was like, oh, you're telling me like just any time within 15 seconds, it's just this, just a tube of fire. Like it was horrible, horrible. Like I'm not making, I don't know. Like I sound like I have a shitty tone of voice. So I can't help that right now. Sorry. They opened up the plane and, somebody had a bag of ice in there though, and it was still cold. It was unbelievable. It's a Yeti, Joe. It's a Yeti cooler. Okay. That's what I deserve.
Honestly, it sucks, dude. 72 people died. Let's not make light of that, but still like, fuck. I don't even know why at this point.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Well, shall we get into econ?
Yeah, you did the last one because I made you. Microsoft said it will lay off. Ryan Ricketts is celebrating with his predictability here. Accurate prediction here. Microsoft said it will lay off 10,000 employees, about 5% of its workforce, in the latest round of cuts in large tech firms. I hadn't seen that percentage. Man, 5%.
Yeah, it's a
who's
massive.
Who's out at the door?
Oh, it's OBD.
He always calls over recording.
Hey, dude, I'm doing the show. Let me call you back.
What's up? Hi.
Oh, Dustin,
we did it
hi.
On a Wednesday this week. We surprised you.
I'll call you back later.
Oh, he can't hear me. All right. Tell him I said I love you. You never say it.
I thought I turned my ringer off. Oh, well.
That's right.
He normally knows I record on Thursday.
Yeah.
Anyways. So first of all, 10,000 employees, as you were saying, only being 5% of its workforce, it's a massive company. I didn't even realize that they employed that many people.
No, I'm actually surprised. 5% seems like a big number to me.
Really? So 5%. So
5% seems 20, like a big number because they must, I thought they employed like a million people. It's Microsoft.
So that's 200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought they employed more people than that.
Really? That seems like a lot to me.
It's Microsoft.
I know. I know that. Anyways, we've seen this.
What did they buy recently? Did they buy ChatGPT or are they trying to?
ChatGPT was
that's a OpenAI.
They didn't buy it.
But they did
a large investment.
Yeah.
I think they own like maybe 59% of it or something.
They're going to zoom this thing.
Well,
they're going to fucking, they're going to Skype this shit. 100%.
Well, here's the
Skype
weird
this.
Thing is that OpenAI, that project that created ChatGPT was initially launched and they said they were going to be a nonprofit and they were creating something for the good of society.
And then they're like, check out this creation. That
yeah. Gradually as they've evolved, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we should make this a for-profit thing. So yeah, there's a lot of controversy about what's happening in the AI world and whether it should be public or whether it should be private. Because these tools, once they're up and running are just
powerful. Right? It's like Pegasus, the spyware software.
Yeah.
Spyware. Do you call that spyware?
Do you want that kind of power in a private entity's hands? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not much better.
I mean, that's what's going on. Well, okay. So, or you could have the best of both worlds, like Pegasus, that Israeli software. I forget the company that makes it, but it's like three letters.
It's like SOS or something.
Yeah. Gosh. Okay.
Not SOS.
Yeah, but it's three letters. Anyways, they make it as a private company and they only sell it to governments. So it's even better, Alan. And once they sell it to governments, they actually tell them, we have no way or any desire to find out who you use this on. We just trust you use it on bad guys, not journalists, which they use it on journalists.
Which they do. And they also, like, if you're in Mexico and you have a buddy in the local government, you can have them purchase it for you and then you can use it. So they found that actually there are private entities that
have it. Okay. What is this software I've been talking about? Because for anybody that's unfamiliar,
it's a zero click hack into your cell phone that enables them to harvest anything that you do on your phone.
Literally everything that's like, on your screen, all the sounds that you're that control your microphone.
So even something like WhatsApp, which is end-to-end encrypted,
or Signal.
Yeah, they can still capture all of that. So, and it's been found on, human rights protesters. It's been found on tons of journalists. I believe Jamal Khashoggi, they found it on his phone.
Yep, it was on Khashoggi's, yep. Yeah. And they, there were journalists from the Forbidden Stories Project, the European, I think French journalist outfit, international, but I think based out of France. Anyways, Forbidden Stories broke a story on that in 2021, and they wrote a whole fucking book about how they got away with it. And they were like, dude, while we were writing this, we were like getting our phones hacked, like, so they were able to pull it off without that company that makes Pegasus finding out, but they were working with other journalists, and those journalists proved that they got hacked 11 times, because the one drawback to that software is if you restart your phone, they have to hack back in. So because of that, people have been hacked multiple times.
So for them to complete that project, they essentially had to resort to like all these old school, like tradecraft things just to keep themselves being unhackable, like not use phones. They had to find other ways to communicate, be in person. And this is during COVID, like the height of COVID when they're trying to pull this off. And it's a multi-country effort to
do
this.
Like, how do I talk to someone in another country without using a hackable device?
Right.
What the
hell? They figured it out though. Pretty amazing. Wow. Impressive effort.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you're excited about this next headline. I'm glad it ended up being yours.
I'll explain why. All right. So the PPI, the Producer Price Index, fell 0.5% in December on a monthly basis, well below expectations of a 0.1% decrease. Okay. On an annual basis, the wholesale inflation measure is up 6.2% after peaking at 11.7% in March 2022. So here's why I think this is a big deal. This is the input to the markets, essentially, right? Hmm? So the PPI versus CPI. So CPI is consumer. That's what we're paying.
Oh, yeah.
PPI is what the wholesale,
This is
the input to the economy, right? So this is what manufacturers are paying to produce their goods, right? So if the price of inputs is falling, then that means the price of outputs will fall. So this is essentially a leading indicator of inflation.
Right. Don't you sound like a capitalist there? Will fall. Don't you mean should?
Should fall. So in my opinion, this is a leading indicator of inflation. You include that with, okay, so first of all, mostly this was about drops in energy prices, things like that primarily.
Does that include insurance or is that consumer price?
I believe insurance is CPI.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not positive, but I believe so. So if you include that with the fact that retail is also down, retail was down like 1%, I want to say, in December, which is the biggest month in retail of the year.
Retail was down year over year?
Yes.
Sales?
Yeah, and that's not adjusted for inflation. So when you adjust for inflation, that's actually worse than 1%. So what does that mean? That means demand is falling. Demand falls, prices should fall, right? So you have both sides of this sort of axis here, where it feels like this is a positive indicator, in my opinion, inflation is calming. That's what I would say.
Say that again in one sentence.
So you have the inputs to the economy falling, prices falling. You have consumer demand apparently falling based on retail sales. If you adjust for inflation, retail sales were way off LY. So if you combine both of those things, that to me is a positive indicator that inflation is coming.
And like you said, from both ends on it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty hard for that not to be the indicator, right?
That's my opinion.
Wow, that's fascinating. So listeners, I edited out a long rant in the middle of Alan's excellent insight and commentary, which is like, you don't come here for us to read the headlines. You come here for the fucking commentary. And I was like, shut up, Alan. I have a dumb thought. And all of that was about central banking, which is funny because the Treasury Secretary is our next headline. Treasury Secretary, okay. Which is not the central bank. So, I'm sorry, most listeners won't care, but you know, Connor is going to have a problem with that. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen called on Congress to raise the debt ceiling. Okay, technically, Treasury symbolizes a central bank, but like the Fed is not a government agency. So just
Okay. They're independent.
All right.
Yes.
But now I have to correct myself. So me yelling at myself when I edit this, I'm talking to now. Calm down, me. Okay, what was this? So Janet Yellen called on Congress. All right, I'm not going to read this headline. I'm going to say this headline. A couple of weeks ago, last week, I was saying, hey, you know, they finally figured out that not Mitch McConnell, what's Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is going to win the House. Okay, they've got someone that's a leader. They're not going to bicker anymore until it comes back to the debt ceiling. And these same factions are going to sort of split things up. And at that time, the Republicans will hold the debt ceiling, whether or not the debt ceiling is raised, they'll use that to hold some bill, probably a budget, hostage. And we were talking about that being later in the year. I think some people said September, some people said October. Other people said we don't really know. Because the spending is so wild. But two weeks ago, whenever I said that, we reminded our listeners that that is an example of how stupid our government is, because that is the debt ceiling is arguing over whether or not you can allow more debt to be able to write the checks that your previous round of
legislation already
approved. Okayed the spending to yes. happen. So there's a spending bill, and then there's a deficit because the spending so if you're spending so much that it is going to go above the debt limit that you're allowed to have, so there's this
or above the revenue you're collecting, and yes,
and so
yes.
there so then they say, okay, so that's going to create debt, and they say, well, we can't have more debt than X, and then they say, okay, well, 6 months ago, you guys all approved all the spending and you knew you weren't going to bring in more money. So now you have to pay for the thing that you approved. And you all insisted. And now is a great time to interrupt me and say that in those arguments, the only reason they were arguing isn't to pull shit out of there. There's like two people saying that. It's everyone individually saying, I need to make sure this spending gets added to that.
Yep, I want
to
add this. I want to add
reelected.
That.
It's only
yep, so my state. Like,
if I won't get reelected, they're going to bring in a progressive and it'll be a Democrat. Is that what you want? Like, it's just, you know, it's and then they say, okay, all right, I'll get my coalition to back you. We'll get that added on. Mm-hmm. Then the next person adds something on. And it's only adding shit in so that they can have their constituents be happy. And then 6 months later, they go, hey, we can't pay for this shit. And they say, well, I guess we'll hold the government hostage. And it's the same fucking people, too. It's the people that added that spending for their district in are like, well, I don't want Social Security to exist. And if you want to increase the debt spending bill, you have to add a line in that that says, by the way, Social Security won't exist anymore. And I want to impeach Joe Biden. Like, and then they're like, okay, well, that's not how you get the debt limit increased. And this is fucking grown-ups running our country.
Yeah. No, it's that's well described. Yes. So
they already approved to spend the money. Like, how do you approve to spend the, like, okay. All right. Well, how do I act outraged over something that I'm so familiar with and disappointed in? Because it gets me mad every time.
Yeah, and they're predicting this could be the most protracted sort of budget hostage crisis that we've seen, and we've seen some pretty protracted ones. So Yellen is saying that they'll probably hit that limit on Thursday.
That's tomorrow. That's yesterday, listeners.
I thought it was next Thursday.
I think,
That is. Oh, yes, you're right, I think.
Yep.
Okay, because this comes out Friday. So They will then invoke extraordinary measures. Essentially what that means is they will stop paying into like pension plans that they can just catch up on later, presumably when the debt ceiling is increased, things like that, or they can save money without impacting anybody's paycheck for a while. But then, you know, you start impacting government employees and the military, et cetera. We start, you know, our the interest rate or what willing people are willing to hold our debt, you know, the cost of that goes higher because of this.
People don't want to use American dollars as the world reserve currency after that.
The Saudis are already saying that they might not.
They're already,
which is,
they're already cozying up to China. Like,
yeah, they already are.
Yeah.
Speaking of China, should we move on?
Sure. Might as well. Fine.
Do you want more?
No, just the people that I knew that when the government shuts down, they don't get paid. And it's just so dumb.
It sucks. It really does. Well, and I think we've aptly described, it is a stupid fucking fight. Like it makes no sense for them to do this. Like if you want to argue about spending, but to hold the government hostage essentially because you don't want to pay for stuff that you already signed off on a year ago, that's asinine. That just makes
give that asinine. The thing that pisses me off about it is like I get on here and I act like they're all too stupid to realize this. No. They know.
Yeah.
And that's why it makes me mad, because they think we're dumb. I mean, right. a lot of us are. I mean,
it's fair. Yeah. Is it mine?
Yeah.
China's economy grew 3% in 2022, below its annual GDP target of around 5.5%.
All of that's in quotes. Around 5.5% is in quotes. So that means that's China turned official... in a sheet saying around 5, probably in Mandarin, but you know, roughly, whatever that translates as.
Didn't they invent the abacus? You'd think they'd have a more precise.
Meow.
And it's second slowest pace in decades after 2020. This is what I was talking about before when I said that China's sort of the wild card in global GDP this year, is that we just don't know what to expect from that economy. I mean, I don't know how you predict that. So, and the size of it is so massive that just the waves that go through the global economy based on what China does is just, it's hard to even measure. Yeah. You know?
And we talked about like a zero sum game versus win-win scenarios in our last episode. And, you know, it's not good for us for them to have a failure. What we would prefer is for their government to not rule in the manner that they do. Do you think about that ever? Just how that revolution could have gone different?
I think about it often, actually. Yeah. That's one of those turning points, like Bush getting elected versus Gore. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's. If there are quantum worlds, and I mean, I'd be curious to see what that one looks like.
Yeah. I mean, the timing would have been amazing. I mean, that right next to Russia as the Cold War, I mean, it peaked, but like the way that would have gone, and you look at Taiwan right off the coast and just think what that could have been for, you know, for China. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we would have probably had to have made them an enemy, but I think it would have been a harder sell. I mean, they look different. Yeah. Maybe it would have been easy. I don't know. The alliance and the potential and like the whole Star Trek fucking world could have happened, right? Like,
I mean, there's the whole Reagan Gorbachev
1066
nuclear weapons
1354. I get it, Alan. No, oh, sorry.
Negotiating on nuclear
Turkish
weapons.
Cannons can't melt Ottoman. Oh, sorry.
Where they were gonna essentially just disarm, you know, like
you're talking about after Helsinki, where Gorbachev and Reagan agreed to completely disarm. They went back. The president, Reagan's advisors
Reagan didn't
want to were
give
like,
up Star Wars.
No, Reagan was fine with it. Reagan's advisors said, we can't give up Star Wars. Right. And they're like, well, what's Star Wars? Star Wars, it's a missile defense system. Well, they're going to disarm. Yeah, but we got to have a defense system. And then he tells Russia that. And they're like, well, if you're going to keep your defense system, we can't disarm. And then we didn't.
And Star Wars never worked.
Star Wars never worked. Yes. Yeah. Much like the Disney versions of the later episodes. Okay.
Jar Jar Binks.
Thanks.
All right. See you.
Moderna, the science and technology. Moderna said it. So this RSV, right? Everybody I know who has kids has had one of their kids get RSV this year. It was COVID, but worse. And mm-hmm. it's and worse on top of all of that, it's children. Like it targets kids. So this respiratory. So that, why did I choose to say this? I already said RSV. Then I broke it down. Respiratory syncytial virus. What's an S and a
Something
C?
Like
they can't both be a soft S. Okay. Moderna is trying to get an mRNA. So the same type of vaccines they've been doing. mRNA vaccine for that. It cleared or it had a clinical trial that showed 84% effectiveness in preventing the disease in adults age 60 and older. Who the fuck? I read that whole damn headline. Like, who the fuck cares? This is like, I guess, you know what? You're right. You're right. The other population that's susceptible to it is the elderly. Yeah, nobody talks about old people getting this. They talk about flu with the elderly. They talk about RSV with kids. What fucking goddamn!
What it does impact.
This episode is brought to you by Moderna. This is what's happening. We've been paid for. They've been getting to us, and we're part of the World Economic Forum.
Well, I think that this is interesting because after the COVID vaccines that were developed using this technology. We were all like, well, maybe they can use this technology to do a lot more. And so this is one of the first additional vaccines that we're seeing using this technology. And I think it can go a long way. I know
and obviously they're not going to do trials on kids, right?
I don't think they're doing them on babies, no.
Yeah.
Wasn't Michael Barbaro's kid infected?
Probably.
I believe.
I don't know.
I believe he was. Yeah, yeah. I think he talked about it on an episode.
I don't
Yeah, a lot of young
don't,
children.
I actively filter his voice. Like... I just think about the part of the show that matters that he says anything on. It's nothing. Like, I don't care. Like, I want the report. Hold on. Okay. Nope. Okay. That what you heard was Michael does not show up in a search. Barbaro or So...
Oh, no. You're trying to find a sound?
I know I've isolated.
You'll have to isolate
I don't save things. That's what happens. I think I save them and I don't. And so many sounds are lost to the ether.
Okay. I know some people, you know, Guntruck Paul, for instance, are anti-mRNA, which is fine. You can be. Mm-hmm. But I think this is progress. And
Is he anti-mRNA or is he he doesn't quite trust the technology because it's nascent.
I think he doesn't quite trust it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame
new technology.
Early adapter or late
He's
adapter.
He's not an early adapter.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Can I do this next door?
Yes, I'm excited to ask you about this because you actually read the headline. So I'm like, I guess I could have read the headline. Just talk it at me, Alan. I love the Thursday shows because I just show up. It's fun.
So scientists diverted lightning using a high-powered laser for the first time in a real-world test. So they're doing this in the Swiss Alps. There's this telecommunications tower that gets hit by lightning.
This is a Bond movie. This is a Bond movie. They're in the Swiss Alps using lasers to divert lightning.
So this telecommunications tower gets hit all the damn time, right? So there's always been this sort of theory that lasers could be used to divert lightning. The only thing we've had to divert lightning, Ben Franklin invented, which is the lightning rod, like, you know, however many hundreds of years ago, right?
Yeah.
So kind of old technology.
Thousands of years ago.
Not thousands.
A kite, if you can keep it. That's what he said.
You know electricity. So
that's
what
DC
path
current.
Does electricity follow?
Well, what do you mean by this? The follows a conductor. Least resistance.
Correct. The path of least resistance. So electricity will always follow the path of least resistance. Uh-huh. That's just what it does. So essentially what these lasers are doing, these high-powered lasers are firing into the sky, and they're creating like almost like a hole in the atmosphere because of the way they heat up the atmosphere that creates a
cavity,
least
like
resistance.
A cavity. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's different.
It induces
than the
lightning into that direction.
Right. So it follows that path.
Yeah. I said induces. That's a better, you know, sounds cool.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Good. So it follows that path because it's less resistant. And then that way they can direct it. They actually direct it to a regular lightning rod.
Wow.
To bring it into the ground. So they've shown it to work. You can see it actually working on high speed cameras. I think they've shown it to work like maybe 6 times. Whether or not this can be like
done
on a consistent basis and be useful is still
It involves rolling out high powered lasers all around the world as if that's not a bad thing to just leave laying around. Like, so I'm sure no one's going to aim that at the building and cook all the interior.
You could imagine certain places, though, where you have a high value asset that you really don't want to get hit by lightning.
Sure.
Where
sensitive radio equipment or sensitive testing equipment, sensitive equipment. Yeah.
What about even like a place like Half Dome where people get killed by lightning hitting it?
I mean, I don't know. As somebody who's climbed Half Dome multiple times, I called off more than one attempt because there was going to be thunderstorms.
Yeah. And maybe you don't want high-powered lasers in Yosemite. I don't know.
Also that, sucks. You can't do any of the things I did in my 20s in Yosemite anymore. Like, I just rolled up in the middle of the night and hiked Half Dome to see the sunrise at the top.
Yeah, I remember.
And then, like, a couple of years later, I was like, I could do that again, but climb it. So I, like, hiked it the day before or the night before and then camped at the base and then climbed it solo. But I didn't do it because I read the weather report and I was like, oh, lightning. Well, anyways, thank you. You baited me. I would love, my ego will talk about climbing any chance you set me up for. Sorry, listeners. That was very egoic. That was very egoic, and I'm ashamed of myself. I have a couple of in other news headlines I tagged in here. I understand you're going to wait till next week, perhaps, in case it doesn't come up, there's no point in doing that. Which one of these do you want to talk about? You want to do these two?
I want to do, I don't haven't opened that other one yet, but I will.
Okay.
Hold on. I got to find the article. So this one is about Canada, no booze healthy is the title.
That's my note. Times. Thanks. New York Times. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. So I added a couple of New York Times headlines here because I can't read them.
So the actual headline is Canada's new guidelines for alcohol say no amount is healthy. By the way, this contradicts. I've read lots of studies about people drinking wine is healthy. That et cetera, having a couple drinks. They're saying zero is the best number.
That makes sense. I don't think you can ever make an argument that booze is good for you. Like, fuck off. I'm gonna drink. Like, I know it's bad for me. I like what it does. We make trade offs all the time. Like, I don't need you to come up here, because when you say it, it sounds like you're going to follow it up with, and we're not going to let you, you know? If this was an American headline, they'd be like, they're banning the stoves, you know? Like, this is the banning the stove story. It's the same thing. The government said you shouldn't. I'm sorry. Here's my editorial. You've read the article. Let me know if this is accurate or not. Off the headline, I went, this sounds just like the stove story in the U.S., and everybody ran with it and said, Biden's going to come into your house and take away your stoves. And like the Canadian version is like, oh, the government actually says maybe this isn't good for you, which is exactly what our government said. They said, this is actually isn't good for you. And it wasn't any sort of an authoritative.
No, it wasn't.
Sounded authoritarian. It wasn't an authoritative statement, right? It was, did they actually,
they're not coming for your alcohol, if that's what you're suggesting.
It's so funny because didn't we bring all our booze in from Canada during Prohibition?
Yeah. Yeah. Canada, Mexico.
I'm all over the place. I'm probably going to edit a lot of that out. Do you want to run whatever you're.
So essentially they just said, look, zero alcohol is better, but generally speaking, just less is better. So in other words, drink less, live more is sort of their tagline for it. Here's what I thought was funny. So the new guidelines depart from the specific drink limits called for in other Western countries. Which country would you imagine has the highest recommended amount of drinks per week?
It's Ireland.
No, Australia.
What is
they it? They recommend no more than 10 drinks a week and no more than 4 drinks a day. Britain recommends no more than 6.
Per week?
The U.S. calls for 2 or fewer a day.
How many? 4?
2 or fewer per day in the U.S. 6 a week in Britain and 10 a week in Australia.
And 4 per day?
More than 4 in one day.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Oh man, that's like the prudes. Those are like the people that are like, you're not supposed to drink, and they're like, yeah, like no more than 4. like don't drink a lot. In the U.S. they're like if you have 2 drinks, you're pushing it. And in Australia they're like, yeah, don't drink a lot, like, you know, 4.
Four. Four is good.
I love it. I fucking love
it. So, you know, do some math. Maybe eight. No.
Yeah. This is pretty rich. Wait, this is pretty rich coming from Canada. Don't they, their government of Canada is giving that recommendation?
Yes.
Don't they kill people in Canada? Doesn't the government also kill people there?
Oh, the medical-induced suicide kind of thing?
Yeah, which, they do. In theory, we're behind. Yeah, it seems kind of weird. They're like, you know what? This is bad for you. You know what else is bad for you? My recommendation for you dealing with your mental health crisis. It's also unhealthy.
It is a bit ironic.
Yeah. All right.
I haven't read this one.
This just happened. So when I first saw this headline, it was a New York Times headline, and I couldn't read it. It was like, well, Alan can read it at me. I've since seen that it got broke by Atlas News, an outlet that we both like. But I didn't open it because I wanted Alan to. We can experience this together. So what happened in New Zealand? Is
Jacinda Ardern, New Zealand's leader, her prime minister, says she will step down. She will leave office by February 7th.
Doesn't Ardern sound like a New Zealander saying Arden?
It kind of does.
It's like, my name is Arden.
You mean
Ardern? Ardern? Ardern! Like, yeah, all right. I can't even do the impression.
said in a surprise announcement she would step down in a tearful speech.
Why? Isn't she the one that banned guns? And like everyone there loves her for it. Like nobody's... Yeah, I think so. They had that Christchurch shooting, and then they were like, look, no more guns. And everyone's love this.
Yeah. I think you're right about that, yeah. 2017, she became PM. Re-elected in 2020.
Why is she resigning? She was just re-elected. Why is she resigning?
Economic issues. Home prices surged over the past decade.
She basically just...
2022.
So did she just resign because of, like, she feels like there's a lack of confidence? Was there a lack of confidence vote?
I don't see that there's...
Are they giving a reason why she's resigning?
I'm trying to find.
Okay. That you'd think that would be towards the top of the article.
It's not. In fact, I'm at the bottom and I still don't see why.
What the hell? All the news that's fit to print. Like, what? Like, why? So, Alan, you know what? I appreciate this. This is another example of why I need not subscribe to the New York Times. I'll just keep putting one or two headlines that I felt like I couldn't get elsewhere in here, and you'll talk them at me once every Thursday.
Like, so it looks like there's economic challenges, and then there's a perceived rise in violent crime, and maybe she's not as popular as she once was, but she's still pretty popular. So
don't you stay in office till the next general election?
Yeah, she had a whole year left. She had a whole year left.
Hmm.
I don't get it, man. Hmm. I don't know.
Maybe we're missing something. Maybe this is like, I know. Maybe this is like she's trying to be like a George Washington. Like, you know what? They don't need me. They can let somebody else go. I don't need to take one more year. Maybe that's common in parliamentary systems. It just feels odd to us.
Yeah, maybe. So I guess for almost a year, she's been polling behind the center-right National Party, or her party has, rather. And so she's just taking her ball and going home.
I don't know if it's just me getting older, but center-right's been making a lot more sense to me.
You mentioned that in the last...
I didn't mean to. I heard myself while editing and was like, who the fuck are you? All right. But certainly not... Now, when I say that, I don't mean like neocons or shit like that. Like,
sure, yeah, sure, sure.
All right. I'm still anti-war. I'm still pro-choice everything. But when it comes to like electing the people that govern me, I'd like them to not get so fucking carried away with their, you know, pet projects. But then again, like most people on center right probably don't give a shit about climate change, and I do. So that's why nobody likes me. I can't find a camp. Every time I find people that like me, I say something like that and 20% get mad. What have you been watching, man? What's been in your media diet?
Dude, so The Last of Us.
Did you watch the movie?
It's not a movie. It's a series, but...
Oh, it's a series. So I saw the trailers for it, though, and I thought it was something coming out a while from now. So the video game The Last of Us has a series.
It just came out on Sunday on HBO Max. And actually, my HBO subscription has been down for a while. I couldn't figure out how to get it back. Like, I don't remember. I don't know exactly what happened, but like a card expired or something that was on it. And then I couldn't remember my password. I saw people talking about this, and I was like, fuck, I got to figure out. Because I had tried
it. Oh, you'd been lazy about it. Like, you'd try to log in, and you're like, I got to do that, and whatever. And then this is what motivated you to fix it.
This motivated me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So video game to movie is often disappointing.
I think we can count on one hand of the examples of them actually being good, right? Mortal Kombat movie, right? Super Mario's, the one with John Leguizamo. Those are the only two good ones.
I mean, the first Resident Evil was
You're being so nice. I named two of the least successful.
Yeah, I was like, maybe you like those. I don't know. Sonic. You like Sonic.
Sonic 1 and 2 are good movies. How dare you, Alan? Jim Carrey's
so, this is so fucking good. Yes.
Oh, wait, what's The Last of Us? I picture The Walking Dead. Okay. It's about zombies, right?
It is about zombies, and I am not typically into television or movies about zombies. However, in this episode, yeah, there is some zombie stuff, which is actually kind of fun. I enjoyed. But it's not mostly about zombies. It's mostly about people dealing with the dystopic future.
Well, that was
post-zombie.
But that was what The Walking Dead was about, mostly. That's what people would say when I would go, well, you did two boring episodes in a row. And people are like, you didn't think it was interesting to see what human beings do, like, in the future? And, like, it's tribal dynamics.
I never liked Walking Dead. I tried, and I just couldn't get into it.
Plus, they killed
Glenn
twice.
Maybe it's because I liked the video game. But the story in the video game is just absolutely amazing. Like, if you play this game, you will cry at some point.
Really?
Yeah. You get that involved in the characters. The first episode, dude, I wanted more. I was just like, God damn it, HBO, why can't you just let me binge this?
Do you think they've got a new Game of Thrones on their hand?
I think this is massive.
Wow.
I think that people, the game was massive when it came out. And I think, yeah, this is,
I was so impressed by the trailer. I was like, dude, I mean, Natasha was like, why are you so excited? It was like, cause video games never turn into good series. Yeah. This looks promising.
So good.
Okay, cool.
So good.
We've been so caught up in Better Call Saul. I haven't even thought about other new shows.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it's 99% from the critics and 96% from the audience.
Whoa.
That's massive.
Yeah, usually the critics, when they give a high score, it's because it hits all the gender and equity shit. But for the audience to concur, it doesn't do that. It's just a bunch of white people, Alan.
No.
It's just no diversity.
No, there's plenty of diversity.
Is there one like cripple there that's just, you know, a token handicap?
It's not preachy at all. It doesn't feel like there's an agenda.
Yeah.
It's just really... It does a good job sort of portraying the game, I think. It's phenomenal. Couldn't recommend it more.
Now, does this take place in a mall?
No.
Okay.
I also watched a documentary that... Let me just make sure I have the name right. Hold on. I didn't have this. Fire of Love, which is available on Disney Plus. Tim sent me that one. It's a documentary about two volcanologists, French, I want to say, volcanologists, who sort of made it their life's work to try and predict the activity of volcanoes and make people safe.
Did they die in a volcano? Tell me they die in a volcano.
They did.
They die in a volcano?
They did.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And that's not a spoiler alert because they tell you that in like the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Do they die from poisoning, like gas, or do they die from lava? Please be,
lava. Please. It's a gray volcano, so there's red volcanoes and gray volcanoes. They dive in a gray volcano.
That's too bad.
It's probably just impact, not necessarily lava.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But just really well done. It's all 4:3 because it uses all their own footage because they shot a lot of their own documentaries and stuff. I did not know who these people were before this.
Of course.
The movie really, really draws you in. I would compare it to like a Werner Herzog type movie.
Yeah, sure. I got that vibe just from for that to be interesting, I would imagine it would have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. The narrator at first, I guess kind of like Werner Herzog, kind of puts you off a little bit and then you kind of get drawn into it and you actually, I was really enjoying the narrator by the midpoint of the movie or even earlier than that. 100% recommend. You can watch that on Disney Plus.
Okay. I haven't been on Disney Plus in a while. What's it called?
I haven't either.
What is it called?
Fire of Love.
Fire of Love. Okay, cool.
Fire of Love.
That's clearly about volcanoes. Saturday night after we got back from Natasha's thing and the crime scene and everything, her friend that came over works at Costco, and they have Costco was selling advent calendar boxes of wine.
Okay.
And
wait, advent calendar for like Christmas? It's already open?
Yeah. So it was post Christmas, okay. And they were selling something that was $129 for $20. So we got two boxes. Nice. And I was like, dude, let's do a case race. Like, it'll be good for our mental health. Let's just drink this out of our mind. Like, how many bottles of wine can we get through? I did okay, but we didn't get
was
that
it
deep.
Whites or reds or both?
I only experienced reds. And we put on a movie that the two girls admitted that everybody's been raving about. They said that the two girls claimed that everybody's been raving about. Have you heard anybody talking about this movie, The Menu? I think it's on HBO as well. Rafe Fiennes in it. Is it Rafe or Ralph? Also, I think those are two different people, huh? Ralph and Rafe are not the same people, right?
You know what? I don't.
Well, you know that Fiennes, sure. Man. He's got that stern look on his face. Very British. Yeah. Yeah.
The Constant Gardener.
Yes. Yeah. That guy. He's in it. Yeah. And he's a head chef at a very exclusive restaurant. I want to say it's on like an island. You kind of get Agatha Christie vibes, but it's modern.
Okay.
And not quite. So
Tim might have brought this up.
Yeah. A little bit of like a Knives Out type thing, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a commentary on class and class what is that called? Conflict.
Conflict.
Yeah, class conflict. Mm-hmm. I won't spoil anything, I'll leave it at that. It is very violent and it starts to take a turn and then it's not a sharp turn, but it's not It's like a boat turning. It's very steady. You're like, oh, I see where this is going. And then like, as soon as you think that you see where this is going, they're like, no, we're turning all the way around. And you're like, oh my God, you're going there with this. In hindsight, probably wasn't the best movie to watch after seeing somebody die in a car accident. But, I wouldn't know cause I fell asleep before the end. Cause I mentioned we were drinking wine and I was watching a movie late at night. I just, my brain was like, we're good. We're good for the day. We're going to boot down. Had enough. Yeah. They say it was good. From what I saw, it was good unless the class commentary is obnoxious to you, but I think it was still well done from what I observed. It's kind of about people caring about something and then having doing it take away the joy that brought them to it. Should I say that differently or do you get what I mean?
No, it's funny. You know, I had when I lived in Napa, my next door neighbor was a chef, and you know, I always liked cooking, and I was like, I was talking to him one time, and I was like, yeah, you know, I always thought maybe about going into that line of work. I always thought it'd be fun. You know, I really enjoy cooking. And he's like, I still remember this. He looked at me. He's a French dude, by the way. Looked me dead in the eyes. He's like, if you like cooking, don't become a chef.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, because of the storyline in my life, I've interacted with quite a few doctors. Many of them are friends of mine. It's a little eye-opening to see how many of them really hate their job, but they have so much student loans that they have to.
They have to
that's
keep.
It's gonna be their life, and then they got married, and she's, you know, that's gonna require plastic surgery to keep up. You know, obviously, you bought yourself a trophy wife, like, you know, and then your kids are not going to reflect the genetics because you changed every feature of her. Now you got to get, you know, plastic surgery for all the kids. You know, it's all going to cost money, you know. Natasha told me there was a story about a guy, and then she was like, oh, actually, it's a hoax. Don't talk about it on your show. I'm like, well, now it's in my brain. So she told me the story about a guy who sued his wife for $120,000 and won because he claimed fraud. Because she had plastic surgery before he met her. Then they had kids and the kids came out ugly. Can you imagine your kids being so ugly? You're like, if these kids are so ugly, my wife clearly committed fraud. Fraud. like your kids are going to grow up. That's like when Jenny McCarthy said her kid had autism. And then a couple years later, it was like, nope, turns out just couldn't read good. he's an adult now. He's like, yeah, my mom thought I was autistic. Like,
wow.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's a fake story, Alan. I have something I want to bring. Normally, we end the show here when I make a witty joke like that, but we won't. We're going to end after a quote because we're bringing back Teddy Time.
Teddy Time.
That's right. All right. So we're bringing back a cult classic, Teddy Time. Many of you, I think cult actually, classic. Honestly, most of our, well, I say cult classic by accident, but I mean it now, and I'm going to lean into it for this reason. There was like five listeners that ever left. Oh, I get it. Yes. because the cult of people that like Teddy, like me and Connor and a handful of other listeners. So there were probably only about 5 listeners that ever appreciated Teddy time. And then I think our audience has grown pretty significantly since we ran out of Teddy quotes that I could fool you with. And now I'd like our listeners to know, what we used to do is every week I would bring 3 quotes to Alan. 2 of them were Noam Chomsky. 1 of them was Ted Kaczynski. And Alan would have to find the Teddy in the Noam Chomsky quotes, which is harder than you would think. And just to prove that point, since we've been through a lot of these quotes already, it's been almost a year maybe since we've done this.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It was always fun for me though.
Yeah.
It was always, like, I enjoyed the game.
Yes.
It was, and I got better at it as I went along because I learned to identify a certain word usage.
Well, and then I would get, I would try to trick you with that and be like, oh, well, yes, you know, if you think he likes to use this word, I'll find a Noam Chomsky quote where he does that word. So now what we've done, a twist on this, is 2 Teddy quotes and Alan has to spot the Chomsky, which now that I'm thinking about it, that actually might be harder because it was, All right. So here's 3 quotes. Alan will read them at you and he will pick the winner and I will tell you whether Alan's a winner or not.
Oh, I didn't even see them. Okay. Okay, quote number 1. That's what the Pentagon system is. In fact, it's the creation of a state-guaranteed market and a subsidy system for high-technology production. Okay. Quote 2. In effect, antidepressants are a means of modifying an individual's internal state in such a way as to enable him to tolerate social conditions that he would otherwise find intolerable. Quote number 3. History is made by active, determined minorities, not by the majority, which seldom has the clear and consistent idea of what it really wants. Okay. So I'm leaning towards the first one being Teddy, and the last one being Teddy, and the middle one being Chomsky.
What's in the middle one that makes you think that? What do you like about that one?
Well, so Teddy's very anti-technology, so that jumps out at me in the first one.
About the Pentagon.
And then, the last one also just feels more like Teddy than Chomsky to
because,
me about the whole...
Because he's talking about minorities and...
Yeah, how they are the ones that actually make the difference.
You think that's like Chomsky? No, you feel like
that's
Teddy.
No, I think the
Teddy.
Middle
one. Okay, now I've forgotten. Hold on, let me highlight this. Okay, you can't read that. Oh, did you just see it?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go with the middle one being Chomsky.
Okay.
Antidepressants.
So in effect, antidepressants are a means of modifying the individual's internal state in such a way that they would find intolerable conditions tolerable. No, that's not it.
That's Teddy.
That is full on Teddy. In fact, Alan, the one that you singled out to be Teddy is Noam Chomsky.
The
Pentagon. So I thought that one was a bit of a getaway because I think the sentence format and the use of semicolon is like not manifesto worthy. So that's what the Pentagon system is. And so can't you hear old man Chomsky? That's what the Pentagon system is, in fact.
Yeah.
It's the creation of a state guaranteed market and subsidy system for high technology production. He's always mumbling. He has no concern for the recording. He's like, amplify it. I don't care. I wrote it down. You can read my book. You brought me on here to talk to you. We should try to get Chomsky on. I know we won't, but like, don't you hate when people die and we're like, we had a chance and we never tried?
We should try.
We should try.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That we could tell him about the game.
What game? Oh, this game. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And then we should get an army of listeners to harass. No, that'll go the wrong direction.
Don't do that. That wouldn't go well with Chomsky.
No. Wait, hold on. Do you think we can get Teddy on?
No.
He's busy.
He's preoccupied.
All right. I'll talk to you later, bud.
Cheers. That was fun.
That was fun, man. Drive safe.
Y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady.
Cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot. How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.